B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich.
You like poking them?
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher.
Screw Rich. I'm now getting nervous.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum goes strong to the rim. Two-hand slam. He turned the corner on Hardaway and the foul.
Well, he turned that corner. It was hammer down. Man, he turned that corner, everybody out of the way. And all of a sudden, bam, Hardaway hits him in the back of the head as he goes up and somebody flushed that toilet. Something's smelling.
Yeah, you got to flush the toilet. Cedric Maxwell with another pre-planned call of the game. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the young Celtics fan in your life, how about the dynamic youth basketball experience through the Junior Celtics program? That is something my son does. Offering a variety of single-day clinics and week-long basketball camps for children ages 5 to 14, Junior Celtics is always fun, builds skills, promotes wellness, and fosters a lifelong love of the game. I know the guy who's in charge of it. Jealous? Registration is open for all 2020 camps with a $50 discount applied. For more information on the Junior Celtics program or to go register for upcoming camps and clinics, go to Celtics.com/Junior Celtics. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Danny, you've been chomping at the bit. Rich is not here. I understand that this is a big moment for you. Just you and I, one-on-one.
Fred, good morning.
Yes.
How are you?
All right. You're going to do your best to embarrass me. I understand that.
No, Fred. I just want to know, did you stay up to watch the game last night?
I watched.
This morning.
Okay. So our program director is leaving to go home to Chicago to get a job. So I was there, but then I came home and took notes all over the place. I saw the Celtics won, but after the game, I hear Brad Stevens. He's not very happy. He did not like the defensive effort.
Yeah, that's why we love Brad. He's not going to let them settle for not playing their best. I think that I would agree with that assessment, though. I think that we did make a lot of shots and made some tough shots, and our stars carried us with a lot of points, but defensively, we can get better, and Brad is trying to hold him to a high standard. At the same time, I thought, some of our guys that don't get a chance to play a lot, I thought Shimmy and Grant in particular gave us a very good defensive boost last night.
All right, what are they doing defensively that that you guys don't like?
I guess from easy way to describe it is it's just defensive turnovers, meaning you're just in the wrong spot or just a step late in getting to where you need to be. And obviously it wasn't too bad. We held them to 39% shooting, one of the best offensive teams in the league. Even without Doncic, they're a top offensive team. So I think that our defense wasn't bad every single possession. There was a lot of great defensive play last night in the game, but it just seemed like we were turning it on and off instead of being consistent.
Who was the worst defensive player last night?
I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to say who was our worst.
Was it Grant Williams?
No, definitely not.
Was it Enes Kanter?
I'm not saying about the guys, but listen.
Was it
the younger guys I cut slack for? But the guys that play every game need to be better. That's okay. Bottom line.
All right, so it was Tatum. So Joe Murray, that is here right now.
Hi.
Believes
Good
that
morning, Joe.
How you doing?
Believes that you have a new big three. He believes that right now you have enough talent to be considered the new big three. Joe, elaborate, please.
I think the play of Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown, they certainly led the way last night because they put up 20 points each and Kemba with 30. But can you be a big three without a big man, I guess I should ask?
Yeah, I think everybody needs a big man, but they need different levels of big men. I mean, there's been some great teams that don't have, you know, star big men. They just have someone to fill the spot, and their stars are perimeter players. There's many examples of that in our league, but I think that we need, you know, we're playing the big position by committee now, and we're, you know, it's unfortunate that we're going through some injuries. But I think our team is, I think our most efficient offensive player this year has been Gordon Hayward. And we just haven't had him on the court as much, but I think he'll be healthy soon. And then I think that, you know, Marcus Smart, even though he's not the type of player that a lot of people would consider in a big three, because he's not going to average 20 points a game, but he's every bit as important as those other guys. And with the things that he does. And so I don't know. I mean, it's important that we have a good enough 8 or 10 in order to beat some of the good teams in the league. And so I'm not sure I buy into the big three concept.
All right, Hayward, you mentioned Smart. What's the timetable on those guys?
Hayward, he's day-to-day. He's had this foot issue. When he was coming back with the hand injury, he was doing a lot of training and being able to work, and he just has a toe slash foot. It's right there, you know, right where your toe connects with your foot, but it's just some pain, and we're trying to figure out what it is. He had a cortisone shot, and hoping that would make it better, but it actually made it worse, so we're trying to figure all that out, but nobody knows exactly what the issue is.
And how about Smart with his messed up eyes?
Yeah, Smart, he had a bad case of an eye infection, and but he's getting much better. And
was it
I'm
pink
not
eye?
Sure.
Is it pink eye?
No.
You know how you get that? Gross.
No, I don't know how you get pink eye.
You got to be dirty. But okay, so so it's not pink eye. So it's just an eye condition, and you really don't know. Like, it's being treated now, but it's kind of hard to predict when that will be over.
Yeah, I mean, he had like a viral issue, and I mean, he was sick, had the flu for a few, 4 or 5 days through this whole process. So he was just, you know, quarantined at home, and but he's getting better. I've been talking to him every day, and he is. I'm hoping that he'll be healthy. He hasn't played basketball or even been out of bed much over the last week to 10 days. So we need to get him back out on the court and sweating and making sure he's healthy and feeling good. But I would venture to say Christmas Day would be the time of his return, but that's just a guess.
Danny, I, first of all, I want to give you some congratulations, by the way. I don't know if you heard Kevin Garnett. You guys broke LeBron James, so congratulations on that. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, did you hear that?
I did not.
Okay,
no.
So Kevin Garnett's in this movie with Adam Sandler. And, okay, you'll like this. So Garnett was talking, and he's doing all this press, and he was talking about that Miami team and how that they broke LeBron James because the way that they were handling him and what they were saying about him, and that to this day, it's known that LeBron, Bosch, and Wade, that he don't like him, and that he had to interview Wade for something on television, and it was understood before the interview that he made it very clear that he didn't like him. So that's old school. You like that, right?
KG is the best. He's a crack up.
I don't think he was kidding.
No, he was dead serious. Dead serious saying he broke LeBron, yeah.
I know, but he's a character. I miss him. He's fun.
You mentioned you guys miss Hayward a little bit too. You mentioned I was curious. You said it's a toe foot injury with Hayward. It's the same leg, you know, and my brain goes back to 2017 with that injury. It's the same leg. I know this is foot, not ankle, not fibula, but is it in any way, shape, or form related to past injuries, i.e. what happened in 2017?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't believe so at all, no. It's just, you know, it's just right in the bottom of your foot. I mean, and No, I don't think it has anything to do with it.
So it's not, and the reason I ask, I remember with Kyrie had a previous knee injury before he came to Boston. He ended up getting shut down for hardware in there. I know Gordon's had a cleanup procedure, but there's no hardware left from that procedure, right? That's why he had the cleanup a few years back?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with that prior injury. This is just an annoying thing that he's going through right now. I think we'll figure it out.
Brad said he's going to get an MRI today. You said he had the setback from the cortisone shot. Is there an update yet from the MRI? Is he gone for that yet?
No, but he is going in this morning. I think that he flew back early last night, and I think he's going in today. So we'll probably have more information on that this afternoon.
Is it what causes a flare up when he was out for a stretch of time, and then, you know, I don't want to say off his feet, but it was a hand injury that would allow him to do probably some work while he was off. Then there was a layoff for the team. What caused the flare up?
Yeah, I mean, he was doing a lot of work. You know, maybe he was doing too much work even. I'm not sure. But again, I don't know the answer to that. I don't think Gordon knows exactly what it is that caused it. We've, you know, made some adjustments to his orthotics. Like I said, he had a cortisone shot to try to alleviate some of the discomfort. He practiced on Monday, but left a little bit early in practice, but he thought he was going to be okay to play in Dallas, but it just got worse. And so we'll just, you know, I don't think it's a big deal. I just think it's something that we'll figure out here. I don't know how much time he'll be out, but I'm not overly concerned, other than, you know, we're not as good when he doesn't play.
Jaylen Brown said something that actually kind of echoed something that you had said previously. You know, a lot of people, myself included, have piled on Kyrie for last season. And, you know, you've made a distinction that there's more you could have done, that Brad could have done. Jaylen kind of echoed some similar comments about that. Did you see those?
I did see a headline on that, or a tweet of that, I think. Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Somebody had written about that.
What were your thoughts on it?
Well, like I said, I think everybody could have done things better. Like, I think it's ridiculous to point, you know, blame a season on a player. And yet, you know, we all could have done things different and better, and we've all learned from it. And I think Jaylen sees that, you know, there were other players that were doing things, and, you know, we all could have just managed it different. I mean, I think that everybody would agree with that it was in that group.
But it's one thing, and again, I know you've said something similar to it, but it's one thing to say it and another thing to maybe hear it from a player so publicly. How did you feel about that aspect of it?
Yeah, I don't really care. Players talking, you know, they're in front of a camera every day and they say what they think. It doesn't mean that I agree with it or that I think they're right very often, but it's their perspective.
All
right. Players like to, and players are, you know, they're very protective of one another.
I don't like that. I like Garnett hating those guys, you know? All right. Is there anyone you still don't like from your playing days?
I'm not going to tell you who they are.
Why? Why?
It serves no purpose.
Yes, it is. It's interesting.
It serves no purpose. So what? I'm sure there's a lot of people that hate me out there. I don't
care.
Oh,
no one hates Danny Ainge.
And I'm not worried about it. But I'm just, like, it doesn't do me any good to, like,
is it Lambeer?
Who I don't like.
Is it Lambeer?
Your Pistons team.
I didn't like the Pistons back then.
Is that right?
They were. There's something in me with it. They were so popular that I kind of rebelled against that. I didn't like that team. So
okay. So let me ask you a question. I'm just curious of, you know, like, your basketball, you know, understanding.
Yes.
Who is Milo's favorite player?
Tree Rollins.
Much. Seriously, like, who's his favorite player?
My favorite player?
No, Milo's.
No, Milo's.
Curry, of course, because he's a kid. And his favorite football player is Odell Beckham. I mean, because he made that catch. Yeah, Milo, I like you that you know his name. By the way, he went off for 20 in a travel game on Saturday.
Nice.
You got to go to a practice, Danny.
No, Danny doesn't want to go to the practice. He's just going to come to a game. You don't know how many dads have asked me if you were really going to go to a game. Like, is Danny going to be here today? All right. Danny, is there anything that you want to say that will make the news so Rich is jealous that I handled this interview so well?
I think you've done good, Brad. I think you're on top of things.
You know, you think I have a very good understanding of the game of basketball. Is that not correct?
I think you know more than you let on to believe, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, I'm a student of the game.
I mean, I like the you were right on Draymond Green.
Yep. I was right on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. More.
Sure.
Yeah. I like that. I like the kid from Indiana, my friend, and I don't know what's going on with Romeo. When's he going to come back?
5 minutes last night.
I mean, what's...
Yeah, same thing. It's just like some tough luck for him. We like him, too. Well, he just had some tough luck. He's out there giving it his best right now, but he's still right now not 100%. Not as explosive as he, you know, with the coming back from that ankle injury. But he's a good kid, and we have high hopes for him.
Well, the GM of the Red Claws says just praises his athleticism. He just thinks that he's the greatest. So,
hey, Dan, I know you can't talk about college players, but do you think the draft is as strong as it could be this year as in past years? I know you're out there scouting and everything, but is it as strong as it has been in the past?
You know, it's a little bit early to make that assessment. There's not the obvious. There's not a Zion Williamson this year that's, you know, dominating college basketball or anything like that at the very top. But I think that where we draft, we have a chance to, you know, do as well in the draft this year as other years. So I don't think that I think that sometimes the draft is rated based on the top one, two, or three players in the draft. But I see some good players out there. It's hard. I don't know what to compare it to. But, yeah, there's not the super, superstars that we've seen in other years.
You take a flyer on Cassius Winston. Why not? Yeah. It's going to be a late first round.
There's a big guy like named Vernon Carey. I'm not sure if you've seen him.
All right. Well, no one cares about what you think. All right. Danny Ainge. Hey,
but, Fred, I have a question for you.
Yes, please.
I would like to understand your take on what our Patriots are going to do.
The Patriots are going to win at home against Buffalo. They are going to secure the second seed in the playoff, and then they will not make the Super Bowl. Because you can't, I don't think you can win a Super Bowl while you can't run the ball and you can't, your offense is that bad. That is my take on the Patriots. How about you?
Okay. Yeah, what do you think they're going to do?
No, I think that they're going to, you know, have a late surge. I think that they needed these challenges. They needed these setbacks to refocus. And I'm hopeful that their offense is going to be better than what we've seen.
You always you traded Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, right? And you famously said you wouldn't have let the original big three get old. Would you have traded Tom Brady?
I mean, it's hard to trade. I mean, it obviously depends on what you get. You know, when I said I would trade,
let's say you get something pretty good. You get some good draft picks, like you got for the Nets. You get something pretty good.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you got four or five first round draft picks, or you know, three firsts and two seconds, I think you have to consider that.
Bye-bye,
but
Brady.
I don't think they do. But I don't think they do get those offers. That's the point.
Yeah, and at his age, there's no way. Yeah.
Right, and so I just don't think there's that kind of demand. And by the way, he won the Super Bowl, so I'm glad they didn't trade him.
All right. Well, Danny, you extended the interview yourself, which means that you enjoyed the heck out of it. And I think it's the best one we've done all year.
All right, Fred. Have a Merry Christmas, Joe.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
What about me?
Brad, I'll look forward. Yeah, no, I was gonna say, you know, have a Merry Christmas and a good break, good vacation, and we'll talk probably not next week.
No, not next week.
No, next week.
You don't
I'm out.
Yeah, don't worry about all that. You don't have to come on when I'm not here. So, but if you want to come by the house, I'll be in Loudoun, Tennessee. If you find yourself at a Tennessee game, feel free to stop by the house.
All right.
All right.
I'll check it out.
Have a very wonderful Christmas, Danny, and a happy new year. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
All right. There you go. The great Danny Ainge.
Hey, he's coming by the house and a game. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I had a guy come up to me at the game, and he's like, there's no way Danny Ainge is coming to a game. And I'm like, yeah, there's no way.
I mean, if your kid's dropping 20, you know, it might be worth it.
The kids, he's become very dedicated. He wants to play every day. He wants to go to the Y. He's mm-hmm. playing pickup with high school kids. He's liking
it.
Oh, well, he's not doing well against the high school kids, but he's
But that's how you get better. You play against better competition.
That's right. Yeah, he went for 20. In a travel game.
What position does he play?
Well, unfortunately for his team, he's the tallest kid on the team, okay. But he's kind of a swing player.
So he doesn't have is he a post guy or
the kids he plays against are the tallest on the other teams are much bigger. So he's kind of a swing player.
He's tough. Okay. He's a tough match. Speed for those big guys.
Yeah, he handles it. He'll get low. He'll push the kids out of the lane. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine. Duke's looking at him, so we'll be all right. Don't worry about me. I ain't paying for college. I don't even have a 529.
Yeah, you don't need to plan. You don't need to plan in that case. Kids going pro.
My daughter's team won a game 50-12, and then they won 38-6.
Oh, stop running that up on them.
What am I going to do? Tell him not to try?
Just let the shot clock run. I don't actually.
There's no shot clock. There's no shot clock with the 11-year-olds either.
Four corners.
Taking me.
Run that four corners.
Take a knee is disrespectful. Taking a knee is disrespectful.
No, I'm all for running up the score at that level. Run it up. Who cares?
There's nothing I can do about it. Yeah. They pass three times. They pass three times. They score a basket. What am I going to do?
Yeah. You don't like it? Stop it. That's what I always say.
I'm trying. Listen, who cares? Everyone enjoys themselves. They all get ice cream after the game. All right, listen. We'll be right back. I got to find an engineer. .985 to Sports Hub or Toucher and Rich. JP, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Greatest interview in the history of sports radio since.
Thank you.
Might be in a Marconi Award.
Yeah, I think
Jones,
that.
You brought the.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Jones brought the dark side. Oh, sorry. The dark side, you know, to the daytime. I love it. I don't know how you didn't explode when Danny said Marcus Smart is as important.
Yeah,
as the big three.
I did have to stifle myself there. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
What's up, JP?
Unbelievable.
How you doing, JP?
Joe Murray, you doing Christmas Day on the station?
I'll be here, not on Christmas Day, but I'll be here in this morning slot until Wallet kicks me out.
All right, let's work on favorite Christmas cookie, but that's another discussion for another day, Joe. Hey, Danny almost did everything but show you the x-rays for Gordon's, you know, foot. Imagine Belichick doing that. He would have said, well, Brady has two arms, and we're on to Buffalo. He was telling you everything about it, and I know, Jones, you're thinking it's a good trade bait, but if I'm another team listening to this, I'm a little leery of – I'm amazed with – I think Danny was loopy this morning.
No, you know, he's always honest. I will give that to Danny Ainge. What I will say – is Danny was hell-bent on extending that interview.
Oh, like, he couldn't. He couldn't ask Fred enough questions at the end.
Like, he was like...
He's like, hey, Fred, what'd you have for breakfast?
He was trying to embarrass me. There's no question about it, but...
Well...
He succeeded.
He's trading Brady. We know that.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Well, yep. I mean, wouldn't you trade Brady for a haul of draft picks? I'd trade him in 10 seconds.
Yeah, gone.
Unbelievable.
Bye-bye. Yeah, I mean... Dude, F is legacy. I mean, if you're going to give me a haul, like a Herschel Walker haul for Tom Brady at 42.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, I don't think
I need a Herschel Walker haul at this point.
No, but if you gave me like a first, say.
How about a first? He could leave at the end of the year. You might get nothing. How about a first?
You can't trade him for a first because then you're dealing with your fan base, and it is a business.
I don't know.
But, yeah, but you need a first in the league.
Well,
you need a first to protect yourself when the league takes it away.
Right, exactly. So you need, what if you got a first, a third, and then a first next year?
Yeah, sign me up. Yes.
Yeah, so you would, I would trade him for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that that's what a desperate team would have to do. And the only team I think that would do that are the Chargers.
Yeah, this offseason, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And because
you think anybody would trade for him if he's just a free agent, though? I kind of meant it going back to, you know, earlier this year, but yeah.
No. You wouldn't trade for him because I'm giving you a hypothetical.
Sure.
But I think the only team, I don't even know if he wants to play anymore, but if I think that the only team that would really go after him, and it's entirely a business decision, it's not a football decision, is the Chargers.
Yeah, you need to bang out that stadium and get people buying season tickets.
I mean, because no one cares about that team.
Right.
And you have that new stadium, and you need, and if you brought him in immediately, and that seems like a place that he wouldn't mind being. I mean, who wouldn't want to be in L.A.?
Yeah, it seems like a place she would like being, too, Giselle.
Right. But it is funny because it's not like Giselle's like just hanging out here, I would imagine, like every day. I imagine that there's quite a bit of travel involved in it.
Yeah, probably. You don't think she's not?
She used to do SoulCycle.
Oh.
When my wife did SoulCycle, she used to see her there. And so she also saw David Ortiz.
Oh.
Did a SoulCycle.
You see them over at the pool ever, in the JCC pool? No.
I've left the JCC pool for greener pastures.
Ah. So they're not.
There is only one professional athlete that belongs to the new place that I belong to, and that is a man by the name of Tuukka Rask.
Oh.
Who I've only seen one time. I don't think Tuukka Rask would want me.
Imagine you guys like in a sauna together. Like, would you talk to him?
There's no sauna there. Uh-huh. They don't have a workout area. They got a big there's a steam room.
Oh.
Imagine you guys
go
in
take
a steam room.
Yeah. And you can't wear clothes in it. That's the rule.
Freddie T and the T.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't think
that's my rule.
I don't think Tuukka Rask and I have any desire to hang out with one another.
No?
Why the hell would I want to hang out with Tuukka Rask?
I don't know.
Just like, hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
Good to see you.
Hey, man.
How you feeling about game 7?
Yeah, well.
Want to go to Buffs?
I don't think that he, right? I don't blame Buffs for anything. Buffs has the finest wings that I've ever had in my entire life.
It's true.
They have the best wings I've ever had, and I've been to Buffalo. I've been to the Anchor Bar. I have been to all those places, and I will tell you this, is that Buffs is, I wish it was double the size.
Easier parking.
Yeah. No, not parking. The parking's not an issue. It's just that getting in. I mean, what are there, 10 tables there?
Yeah, I don't fit in the booths.
You can fit in the booth there.
Man, I've tried.
You don't get the Kowloon treatment there.
No, I don't.
See, you're just everything's spoiled for you because of the way you get treated at Kowloon. Right. Every other place is probably just spoiled.
Yeah, because now I'm just paranoid about what I said last night during my speech.
I think you're good.
I'm just paranoid. Everyone's saying I'm good, but I hate going to company events. But
I'll tell you what, you work the night shift, you get out of a lot of.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Events.
I was going. Mike Thomas is the finest program director I've ever worked for, and I wanted to be there, and I love Mark Hannon and Mary Mehta, and I wanted to speak, but then I realized that I had been drinking, and then that always scares me. But there was no Me Too movement or anything. I didn't say anything racist, so I'm assuming that I'd be okay.
I think you're good. I wasn't even there. I haven't.
You were pro your job, pro your company,
yeah.
Pro where you came from,
anti where I used to be, but very good, very very good, and appreciate Danny Ainge. Everyone thought that was going to be a disaster.
I think with the new relationship with you two, you've been worried about taking the plunge going to Kowloon. Maybe just invite Danny over there.
Yeah.
You two go together.
Hey, Red's got his own thing on the menu there.
Oh,
Red used to have the old Celtics teams used to just go right up there. Red has his own spot on the menu.
That's when they had no money.
He could smoke cigars in there, too.
They let him?
Yeah. Who wouldn't let Red Auerbach smoke a cigar?
Me. I go, get the hell out of here, old man.
Yeah, right. In the 80s, dude?
I'd be like, get the hell out of here. What do I need from you? I'm trying to get young clientele, not old men.
Just cough at him. Excuse me.
I'm like, what do I need out of you?
Put that out?
Yeah. Get, what are you?
Arnold?
Old man, yeah, old man, get out of here.
Put that out, Arnold?
I'm looking for the youngsters, not some old curmudgeon.
Charlie Puth there the other day.
Who, Poo?
Charlie Puth? No.
Who's that?
He's some singer.
Why would? Who knows who he is?
I don't either. Actually, I heard of him.
Okay.
He was there, though.
Well, I've never made the decision for the show dinner, and you are more than welcome. But I will tell you this, is that, Mike Thomas just said, I thought your speech was great. Well, I felt the need to talk about Mike Thomas. I like him very much. I'm very sad he's leaving, as you both know, or as Joe knows. How many times have I said that?
Lots of times. We're all very sad.
Yeah. Bird's putting his hands up like 50 times that I've said that I am very sad that he's leaving.
Does that relieve your paranoia?
I just don't. I don't like myself, Adam. And it's just anything I do, I second guess five things.
Yeah.
And can you imagine being my wife when I'm constantly pestering her about what
I don't
want
to say yes. But yeah, no. Yeah, I guess the answer is no.
Kind of like going to blackjack instead of eating at the table?
Well, I defend that. That didn't bother me.
That
bothered you?
Not at all. I wanted to go with you.
I mean, what do you care if I sit at that table?
I didn't.
Wasn't it disrespect to any of you? I realized that what happened, Adam, and I know we have to break. What happened, Adam, but let's face it, like this is a different time of year. What happened is what we had.
It's Danny's fault.
We had this show dinner, and Rich is very in, and it was great. And Rich had planned it, and it was great. And it was at the casino there. And I got there early, and I started playing blackjack, and I realized, wow, I really like to gamble. And then we went and sat down, and I ate a little bit. I tried desperately to get Joe Murray to go gamble with me, but then I tried to get everyone to gamble. It was annoying. I probably was pretty annoying.
I wasn't annoying. Once you were done with Joe, you came back to our end of the table, and you said to Mike and to Nick and to me.
Yeah, right. And then I said, please gamble with me, and they all said no. So I got up and I gambled. I wasn't going to that dumb club. So,
the club was cool.
I know it was cool, but it's not something that I would ever do.
Me either. It was fun.
I'm sure it was.
I might never do it again.
But the idea that you were up past 1 in the morning is very strange to me. 2 well, in the morning.
I got to at least witness.
I like wake up at 2 in the morning on the weekend. All right. Listen, we're very late. Here are the headlines.
Okay.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The sports hub. So in North Attleboro, a substitute teacher at a school has been fired for smoking marijuana in class and leading a discussion about the drug, the principal said, which is not a good idea. But when you had the anti-drug thing, did they ever come in with, like, all the drugs, like, in a frame?
We had, like, the DARE program and DARE, yeah.
Yeah, but they would come in, like, with all, like, the drugs, like, in this frame, like the real drugs.
No. We definitely didn't have that.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was like, oh, wow, that's cool. Like, you'd be looking at it like, wow, you got all these drugs. Like, that's... And
The street value of that there, officer?
Right, exactly. And I always thought it was odd that, like, you'd be... Because they're like, oh, yeah, this is bad. And then you're, like, teaching kids, like, this is what this looks like. Now, listen... You want uncut coke, all right? You got it. You want pharmaceutical grade coke.
Yeah.
You don't want it cut with any baby laxative and with heroin. Be very careful because the quality of it can lead to overdose. So this is about the amount you want to take.
Okay, I see.
With blotter acid, you never know how much liquid they put on it. Murray, you've done acid.
I've never done acid.
Really?
Mushrooms. That's it.
And did you enjoy mushrooms?
I really did. It's food poisoning.
Was it just a one-off?
No.
I was going to say, if you really did, then what?
It's just food poisoning.
How'd you consume it?
I chewed it. Smoked it, too, but yeah, you chew
You can't smoke mushrooms.
Yeah, you can.
How'd you dry it out?
Put it in weed.
And it still works?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Yeah.
You could take the taste of them?
Yeah.
You know, they grow in your poo.
Yeah, but they give you more potency if you eat them. Like, we used to just get, like, you know, a bagel sandwich, put some cream cheese, and throw it in there. And
there you go.
If you eat them, you're still, like...
That just, dresses it up a little bit.
Well, then you get the carbs.
Yeah.
Pizzas, dude, you just fold them in half and eat them.
Pop a little schmear on there.
But, yeah, if you eat them, like, straight the way they are, they're supposed to be more potent.
Yeah, there's this place in Nevis.
From what I heard.
We took, like, this worst we took this cruise that I could get into. It was the worst experience, one of the worst experiences of my life.
You're stuck on a boat.
No. This was not a cruise. This was
like a cruise.
Was a barefoot cruise, which some stupid hippie when I was hosting an auction said, "Dude, $3,000. That's a deal of a lifetime. You're gonna love it." First of all, $3,000 got us a room legitimately underwater with a porthole that was underwater. The bathroom was the shower, so the toilet was under the shower.
Okay. Can work with that.
It burned diesel fuel. And to get to the only good thing is it would get, and I was sick the entire time. It was a nightmare. Do you know what it's like being under the water and just on a crappy small boat? Like constantly?
Sounds
there was
not great.
Bunk beds. Like, I mean, it was.
Did you get top or bottom?
Bottom.
How'd you guys get out of this?
Tough.
Were you towed in?
No, they took you, Joe, on a wonderful, wonderful raft that was also powered by a diesel engine. Mm. So what would happen is I would get to any island, and I would go. I would tell the cab driver to take me to the nicest hotel. And twice we got called out, and I was like, I almost started crying at one of them. At the Four Seasons in Nevis, I almost started crying. And I'm like, all I have is $50. Could you please let me stay here? Like, just, we won't bother anyone. I won't do anything. And the woman, like, was like, fine. So we walk down the beach, and there's this famous bar. And they're like, have some of this tea. And I'm like, I don't like tea. And then it turns out the tea is a mushroom tea.
Oh, yes.
It is a mushroom tea.
Remember Homer Simpson and the Simpsons was eating that?
I thought that was when he...
Oh, was it the Leafs? I
thought that was when he ate the chili peppers. Hallucinating. One of the worst episodes of The Simpsons of all time.
Anyway, so what happened with this guy? He got fired? The weed guy in class?
Yeah, he got fired. You can't smoke weed in class. You're not allowed to smoke cigarettes.
Was it marijuana or like was it vape? I mean, I don't know.
Students reported the incident. The officials, according to the statement, the principal praised the students for showing maturity. Narcs.
Oh, they narked on them.
Yep. It was their quick decision to report the concerns.
Bunch of Eagle Scouts.
Yeah, right.
I bet.
Way to tie it all together. The teacher, whose name is not released, was barred from the school. Blah, blah, blah. Oh. I don't know. He probably smoked a bowl. Or maybe he probably vaped.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that he vaped.
Yeah, it's 2019. He probably vaped.
Yeah, I don't think like you're taking a bowl out and packing it and doing all that.
Yeah, kids.
Yeah. The one commercial
settle in, kids. I'm gonna tell you about life.
That always got me was the this is drugs, this is your brain on drugs. Any questions? Like
it was so effective.
The egg frying.
Yes.
It was so effective. And you know what really made sense when you were a kid is I learned it from you.
Yeah.
Like there's a rig in like heroin and you're like, what is this? Like I have no idea what the hell this is. Like, you know, because the kid, like the dad goes, what's this? And he opens it up and there's like a hypodermic needle and whatever. And he's like, I learned it from you. And you're like, well, what the hell's in that box? I don't know anything from needles. Like this is what's on Saturday mornings. You're afraid of kids shooting heroin?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be better to...
Yeah, I think that's the logical progression.
Like an anti-alcohol thing happening or something like that. Like, I don't think many kids watching Saturday morning cartoons are shooting heroin. I mean, there's a whole process to it. You got to get a cotton ball. Yeah. You got to get a spoon. You got to get purified water.
Right.
I got to get alcohol to rub the skin.
Sure.
You got to know to get a little out. And then you have to draw a little blood out before you...
Parents got to be, they can't be home.
I just read Flea's biography and he goes into great detail about chewing cocaine. So I'm very familiar with the process. By the way, Flea, a very, very emotional man. Mm. Very emotional man. And what else is here?
All right, I do have a beef to pick with you, and it ain't a beef teriyaki from the Kowloon.
Does Andy Wong appreciate just how much we talk about the Kowloon?
He's very thankful for everything.
Do you know how much like free advertising that is?
I think he appreciates everything. He's very.
If I came into the Kowloon,
he would give you the royal treatment.
And now, what does that consist of?
I don't know.
A room by yourself. We learned that.
Yeah.
Well, you want to be with the people though. So
I wouldn't want to be by myself.
Yeah. We'll put you in the. We'll put you. We give you a choice. You either go in the main bar or the dining lounge. There's a ship if you'd like,
okay,
a pirate ship.
If you had a choice, both three of you, if you had a choice to go to a bar that you are regular at alone or with a friend, what would you do?
A regular at?
I would go with a friend.
A regular at?
You're a regular at a bar.
You go alone. You know the bartenders and stuff?
I used to go to Doyle's and JP alone back in the day.
I see, I go to my regular, and I barely can go anymore because of all the kids' stuff, but I go alone. And if you want to talk to the bartender, you can talk to the bartender.
Yeah.
The bartender can facilitate a conversation with someone else there.
Yeah, you might know a couple of the other people hanging out.
Yeah, right. So I've actually turned down going to a bar with friends to go to a bar by myself. You can bring reading material. I always bring a nice hustler with me to enjoy. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate Adam Jones. I appreciate Joe Murray. I appreciate Mike Lockhart. All of you here on the staff. We will be back tomorrow where we will be joined by Albert Breer. Ooh. We will have one of the great moments from the year.
Mm-hmm.
And so much more.
And we have a big contest, I believe, tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. We're giving away a chance to maybe be hanging out with the Patriots after a win.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.